Hello, everyone. Welcome to a happy February. Hello, Sean. I've already got a message. Welcome to this month's Q&A. For some of you, it's going to probably be your first webinar. So having joined recently in the recent tour where Dimna went around, welcome aboard. And tonight, what you're first going to do is find out who I am. So my name's Ian Ugarte. I am Dimna's head trainer. I am a plumber and builder and teacher by trade. And I came aboard in 2008. In 2010, I was no longer in a position where I had to work. And so consequently, my last job was with TAFE New South Wales. So here I am continuing to teach and answer questions because it's something that I love doing. And you'll get to meet me throughout. I'll be at all the boot camps. I'm at, I think, all the events, and always willing to say hello and talk to you all at the events. So tonight's Q&A is I'm on a different connection today internet-wise, so fingers crossed that it's coming through loud and clear. And I am in Sydney at the moment. I actually left Sydney 3 years ago, so I'm in Sydney for the next couple of weeks. Been here for about 8 weeks doing a project, which has been very enjoyable. And back to my family next week, fingers crossed. So the Q&A tonight. So I'll start with how I normally start, and I will say that my name is Ian. I'm a plumber and builder by trade, and any of the questions here tonight answered are going to be answered with my respective opinion. It's not advice. Please don't take that away and go and invest without the support or the advice from qualified people around you that are there to support you. Dimna puts them up for you. So please use them and make sure that you don't make those decisions without first contacting them. So all okay with that. So let's move forward. The first one's a bit of a it's sort of a personal question more than anything, and a life story to go with that. What you will probably find with me is Dimna's a bit probably more diplomatic than what I am, and I'll give you a bit of a sting occasionally. And it's, remember that it's meant with the best of intention. It's not meant to upset you. It's not meant to be arrogant. It's more about, you know, I've been through this process, and sometimes I'll give you a bit of hot chili, and it might sting for a little while, but eventually it goes away and you learn to live with it. So take it with the intent it's meant. So here we've got a question. Hi, firstly, big thank you for doing what you're doing, sharing information. That's why Dimna does what she does. As many others have said already, if only we had come across her years ago. Correct. You may call on the 7th. They signed up to Quantum. So they've been members for 2 years and then upgraded to Quantum, which is not something I got to do. After the first boot camp, we knew our direction, and they went and contacted the ILN office, and they didn't get back to them. So they felt like that wasn't the way to go. So here's my first bit of hot chili. This game is about getting responses from people. And because someone doesn't call you back doesn't mean that they're bad at the job. Something could have happened. An email could have gone in all directions. Or they could be bad at their job. So to say that someone didn't get back to you once or twice, I think, you know, in this day and age, you've got to expect that you've got to follow people up. This is a business. This is not a hobby. And so if you were at work and you really needed something, you would continue to ask for that until you got it. So the same thing with this property business. When you need something, you continue to ask. And so because ILN didn't get back to you, well, the people that run ILN, they want to know that you weren't looked after. They want to know and get feedback to say that, well, actually, someone contacted them and they didn't get back. So my first thing would be to say, and I'll show you in a second how to find the contacts for them, is, okay, I did something, they didn't get back to me, and you need to give feedback that they didn't get back to you. Now, at the same token, if they didn't get back to you, and with all respect to a lot of the students, I've actually followed up a lot of these when I see the complaints on the website, and they have a very good tracking system, and usually there's something in the background that they're waiting for some information. So follow them up if you think that they're not getting back to you, because they may be waiting for something for you, miscommunication, all the rest of it. So the rest of the question went on to say that they sold their business after 23 years, and they went off to their own accountant, which didn't quite work out. And the capital gains exemption didn't hit to them because they didn't get the right advice. So we've been in the process the last few weeks of interviewing other accountants to assist us with this and our future. We are confident we can get the CGT bill reduced. Well, you've made money. It may not be possible. So, it may be that you do have to pay the capital gain, though again, you may not to. So you're doing the right thing by looking out. We would really appreciate if you could refer us to an accountant advisor. Well, again, I'll show you on the website where you can find that and the strategies that you recommend for capital gain and the strategies we recommend. Well, Dipner recommends a huge number of strategies, and it's really going to come down to not what Dipner recommends. She tells you every strategy that's available to you in property. Your decision is which one's the one that you want to do. Now, remember, Dipner and I have been talking for the last couple of years about three strategies in three areas. That essentially gives you, if my maths is correct, 21 different options, maybe 24 different options of what you can do. So you might decide that you're going to do a renovation, a subdivision, and a strata in one deal. The more you can do in one deal, the better off it's going to be the return for you. And then you've got three areas to do that. So you've got different combinations of reno, strata, and subdivision, and you've got three different areas that you can try them in. So you want to become an expert in that area to make sure that you get to the point where when a deal comes up and before it even hits the market, you go, oh, that's a good deal. I'm grabbing that one because you know the market so well. So to ask Dipner what strategy to recommend, well, she'll recommend all of them as long as you do them correctly in the way she teaches it. So ideally, we would appreciate it if you could get your advice in our current position by spending an hour or two with you at the end of the day. One knows or understands these things better than you do. Really, really appreciate if you could available us for an hour or two of your time, which are happy to pay for us at this stage of our life. Can't afford to get this wrong and really value guidance. Okay, so wouldn't it be wonderful if I could sit down with the head of Macquarie Bank so that he could give me some advice? Now, in the end, again, the hot chili is going to be Dimpner and I are extraordinarily busy people. So we, as well as she manages her time, the reason she put this learning program together was so that her students could use the program and not needing her as much as you would expect that you would need her. So for me, I'm going to tell you a little story, which I don't think I've ever told anyone. Dipner runs her platinum program so that you can sit down with her for 2 hours at a time and go through your stuff. So once I'd got to the position where I did well enough not to need to be at work anymore, I decided that I would go and do platinum and join with her and get her one-on-one feedback to make sure that what she was doing for me was good and correct. And she sat down with me for 2 hours, and we went through all my stuff, and Christine, my wife, was there as well. And she said, okay, so off you go and do it. And so 2 months later, I saw her again, and I looked at her and said, so what do I need to do? And she looked at me and said, quite simply, I've already told you what you need to do. Why are you asking again? And it was true. I was looking for the easy way out. I was looking for the reason not to have to do all the work. And in the end, the only person that was in control of taking her strategies that she taught me and put them onto property is me, myself. Now, she does have the coaches there. They're there to support you. You've got a whole huge amount of students available to you as well, that if you post something on the forum, then you're going to get some decent opinion back from them, and a lot of them very experienced. Okay, so huge amount of experience amongst the student base. I've got a comment here from Jared. I like your three strategies in three areas. Works very well for me. It limits the options enough to be manageable, yet not enough to have blinkers on. Absolutely right. Now, the reason I actually brought in the three strategies, three areas, because the problem with the only one problem that Dimpner provides is she provides too much for you. And when you put a kid in a lolly shop, they just go crazy. And I find, and I've got a couple of other metaphors and analogies around this, but you leave so enthused from a boot camp, and you've done all the program and you've watched it all, and you're going, okay, I know I'm going to go off and make $1 million. But the problem is that you're not focused enough, and you're looking over that side of the country, and then you're looking over this side of the country, and you're looking for a subdivision, and you're looking for a reno, and then you're looking for a no money down deal, and then you're looking to do a boarding house, and then you're looking at, and nothing is strategic. So as Jared says here, it actually limits your options. It makes it a manageable thing for you to look at and go, right, I'm going to become and concentrate on three strategies, and I'm going to concentrate on those three areas, and that way I'm not going to lose sight of what's going on. Don has just said, yes, information overload. I've just received my package and I don't really know where to start. Okay, I've got an opinion on that. Yes. Thanks, Fraser. Action precedes clarity, right? I'm not entirely sure that that works in this situation. For me, when you do receive your information pack, Donna, the first thing I would say to you is go out, grab your three-day boot camp that's recorded, that we would have recorded probably a year ago, and watch that, and watch it all the way through. I think you've got 10 or 11 DVDs to watch. By watching those 10 or 11 DVDs, there is going to be stuff that's going to blow the back of your head out. So don't concern yourself too much about what you don't know, remembering that there's a whole series of boot camps coming up. So when you turn up to the boot camps, you've already seen it once before, and the ability for you to understand it at a different level will increase. Now, how long did it take me to get on top of understanding everything about property? Guess what? I still don't know and understand everything about property. It's a continual learning experience for me from the start to where I am now. And I continue to learn and I continue to make mistakes, and I do have my wife on board, and she's probably the driver behind us both. So don't concern yourself about the information overload, because it's something I say on stage quite often. You know, I can sit here on the bed actually delivering a webinar to you 6 years down the track, and I can tell you that there was a lot of work involved, but it wasn't that hard. It's like turning up at a university degree on the first day and you don't know how you're going to get to the back end, or a TAFE course, or your first day on the job. And 4 years later, or 6 years later if you're going to be a doctor, you end up going up, picking up your degree, and you look back and you go, you know, there was a lot of assignments and there was a lot of late nights and there was a lot of learning, but it wasn't that hard. And all that's stopping you from getting to where you are, from where you are now to some level of success, is actually getting in there and having a good crack. Remembering that the package is there for you to use. The reason it's there for you to use is so that you can get some information, education, to get yourself into a better place. So start using it. Hi, and I know you ask this question often, but can you explain the rule of two to me? We're just buying another investment. I'll do that in a second. Are there any specific programs you would recommend starting with? Is there any order to the six modules? So Donna, just get the DVD out, the 3 day bootcamp DVD, and watch that first. And what you don't understand the most will tell you where to go in the modules. So whether it be asset protection, whether it be, and again, I had to see asset protection study 20 times before this plumber understood some component of it. Now, as some of the people that hang around me attest to, when it comes to asset protection now, I've got some serious knowledge under there, right? I'm not qualified to talk about it, but I can actually most of the time knuckle down and find ways to use the asset protection in ways that helps not only just in asset protection, but distribution and tax and all the rest of it. Ian, are you saying three strategies in three areas, meaning ideally on three projects, subdivision? No, I'm saying if you can concentrate on three strategies, it means that you're going to become an expert at them. And then if you concentrate on three areas, it means that you can put one, two, or three of those strategies onto the same deal, right? So that means that if you pick up a deal and you can do a subdivision, strata, title, and renovation on the same deal, you're going to make more money because you're doing more strategy in that deal. So there's a student on the Central Coast, don't know if he's online tonight, but he's picked up a property that has a block of units. He's going to renovate the units. He's going to subdivide the land. He's going to build a duplex on the back, and he's going to strata title them and the front units. So that's four or five different strategies on one block of land. It's going to turn out really well for him, all right? So let's have a look at the website. In answer to the first question, which is the people that you should go to for accountants. Firstly, is the legal people, Pacific Law. They've got offices around the country that can help you out. Investor loans, they are the investor loans guys, and that's the head office. They can help you in where to go to. And Investor Accounting Network. So Investor Accounting Network are across the country as well, even though their Newcastle office is listed there. So you've got all their contacts there. So that's how you get to the contacts. And while I'm here, I may as well show you the support. So for any support or any questions that you're not sure about, go to the far right tab there. You've got support. And there's Michael and Sarah, their contact details, email and phone number, so that you can ask them questions in office hours. The rest of the website, I'll show you in a sec because there's a question coming up around the website. Okay, so let's get on to the next question. So sorry if there was a bit of hot chili on that one. Hi guys, I'm a builder in the Wollongong area and a student of DIMP. Now, I often have people coming to me saying, I have money to invest, so when you have a project, let us know. All right, introduce them to me because I'll use them. Currently, I have about three investors without 100, with around 100K each, and I'm sure I could get more if needed. Basically, I'm looking for strategies of how to set up to utilize these funds and get a return for everyone, myself included. Fair enough. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. When you're doing a joint venture, and you know, there's plenty of, we actually might do another webinar pretty soon on joint ventures and how to set them up and making sure that everyone's protected. But there is legal structures around ensuring a joint venture happens. Now, if you're saying that there's people that have got 100K each to give to you as line of credits or cash to go off and do a job, a project, then maybe you need to start looking at how this works. Is there going to be a servicing partner? If there is a servicing partner, then it's quite likely that you talk to Pacific Law, and Derek's the guy to talk to around the structuring. And then that way, the reason that's important is because a serviceability partner is the one that wants to appear on the trust that owns the property. And then in the background, you would probably have a joint venture contract set up between the different parties that are involved. For me, number one rule in joint ventures is never do a joint venture. This is my opinion. Never do a joint venture for a deal that you're going to hold as a cash cow forever. So a deal that you hold as a cash cow in a joint venture, I don't believe is a great idea because people's circumstances change overnight. And as soon as people's circumstances change, it means that someone else is pressured to sell or to buy, and they're not in a position. And more importantly, with joint ventures, it's important to make sure that you have all the bad things in there as well as all the good things. So let's call it a prenuptial, right? So you're going to make sure that in the event that something goes wrong, who's going to get paid out? Who makes the losses? Everything that goes with a joint venture in that scenario. So just one second. So that's one component. Now, again, it's going to go back to what you're going to do and what you're going to what sort of project. Well, that's going to come down to you and what you're good at. You're a builder, right? So to me, it would make sense to use your skill set towards you know, putting as much as you can. Now, I know down south, further down south past Wollongong, there's a builder and his wife at the moment that are platinums that are doing some fantastic deals. They're doing subdivisions with builds on there and doing lots of different things. So it would make sense that you, as a builder, could grab an old property that has the right amount of land on it so that you can subdivide, go and do the subdivision and work it out that way. Now, when it comes to the structure again, depending on how many investors are involved, is how you need to set it up. You can set up unit trusts and you can set up all different side of things. I found that the easiest thing to do is that if I'm the working partner and someone else is putting their money up and doing the serviceability, that their structure buys the property and that I'm the working partner and that I get paid a project management fee, which happens to be 50% of the profit or 30% of the profit or whatever anyone agrees with, because there's no set rule about what profit goes which way. So you know, that comes down to it. Andrew, you might remind me that I need to do a webinar on JVs. Just a note here. I signed up as a Quantum member, watched their DVDs, and came across the Investor software for property search analysis. How to access this on the members' website? So the Investor software is a paid subscription. It's not a free subscription. And they will talk about it at the boot camp. So hold out to the boot camp because then you can decide what you want to do then. Next question. Hi, I have a few questions. I hope you can help. Well, I hope I can too. How to post something in the forum, I can show you that. All right, so when you get onto the website, down the right-hand side here, you've got the forum comments and what's going on. So you've got lots of it. These are the last few posts that have happened. If up the top here, you've got a tab that's called forum. If you click on the forum, it'll take you to the forum. You'll still have the same notes down the side, except it's split up into different sections. So you've got your announcements, you know, so if there's people around the country that are having a meeting in Geelong or Cairns or Sydney or whatever, they normally will post in that area there. General discussion, you know, people that want to talk about different things. The joint venture section or partners wanted. So if you've got one there, notice that there's a platinum there that's put something in 56 seconds ago. Is that about right? So you can put yourself up there and say, oh, look, I'm a joint venture. I'm looking for this sort of deal, or I have money and I have serviceability, looking to hook up with someone because I don't have time. That's where you do that. Questions for your coaches will go in there, and that's where Michael and Sarah will answer them. I noticed that most of the time Michael and Sarah are on twice a day answering questions. Social chat, just things that you want to do, and then tradie corner. So on the tradie corner, this is where you would post on and say, look, I'm a builder. I live in the Wollongong area if anyone needs my help. Now, that doesn't mean that they're good at their trade. What it means is that they understand what you're trying to achieve as a DIPA student, and that you'll be able to get in this. They'll be able to help you out because they know that. Now, that again, it doesn't mean that they're good at their trade. So you still have to do your normal checks, make sure you do a license check on them, make sure that they're the right type of person that you need, and make sure you always get 4 to 5 prices on anything that gets done. So let's just go into announcements. So with the announcements, you see here that there's all these announcements. When you scroll all the way down to the bottom, we go in here and you might say type a topic. So I'll just go in here and just go just checking, just posting, let's put in there. So I'll go just posting and I'll put something in here like Ian is really good looking. Go away, sorry, 1 second. Good look, see, the gods are talking to me. It won't let me put that in. Good looking. And then I might put some tags in there. So I might say good looking. I might put Ian, and then I'll just submit. So when I submit, what it'll do is it'll notice. So notice up the top right-hand corner here, it says just posted 1 second ago. And just remember, guys, if you come and friend me on here, I'll just change my name. That's one of my aliases. So I'll put on here just posting. Now, if I go into the just posting, it means I can go in and then someone else can make a comment. You can also tick a box down here to say notify me of any follow-up email. So if I tick that box and then put some stuff in there every time someone else submits there, I will then have an email come to my inbox to say, oh, someone just posted on your post. When you are doing a search for something, so say you want to do a strata title search, then you might put strata title in here. And this is really important. Take note of this. Make sure you take it from members to posts, because otherwise all you're going to be doing is looking for a person named strata title. It won't quite work. So do the post, then do a search, and then it'll come up with anything that mentions strata title. So you can see here all the keywords of strata title comes up, and you've got lots of different posts. So you can read each one of them, and then you can look for the webinar as well. So I hope that answers that one about using the website. Okay, got that one. Oh, and I cannot get on the website. Okay, if you can't get on the website, you need to get to Larissa at Knowledge Source. So ring them and she will reset your password and give you a new password. Trev and Davina are asking what I'm wearing. Something very slinky, actually. Let's see. I'm a Quantum member. I thought that Dipner had said on stage, if you're a member, you were provided with GVA tools and the software. Did I just hear you correctly? That is an additional subscription. No, she was talking about the feasibility study. So the best point of call besides the DVD is these frequently asked questions. Up the top here, you've got frequently asked questions. And if you go to frequently asked question number 3, that's the feasibility study. Go through and have a look. And it's a webinar. So when you press on frequently asked question number three, it comes in there. It gives you a list of information. Now, that feasibility study is different to what I just talked about, okay? So the feasibility study is the software that's provided to you so that you can do your numbers, make sure that the deal is going to work. There's a webinar that you need to watch. At the end of the webinar, you will get an email address to send something off to, and then you will be able to email John, and John will send out the dongle so that you can load it on your computer. It doesn't work completely. It works on the Mac, but not in full function. So I've just gone out and bought a little cheap PC for that. Oh God, Mark, what a question. All right, let me go on from here. That took a long time, that one. How is a landlord and building insurance of a granny flat? Will it be separate insurance with the main house? Well, that depends on the insurance broker. For me, I actually use an insurance broker like I do a mortgage broker because they're out there looking for the best deal that suits me. Investor Loans Network, again, can help you out with that. That's how I got onto my insurance broker. And it'll be different for every company. You know, for some companies, they'll insure them both together. Other companies will have, you'll use the same company, but slightly different policies. But generally, it's going to be the same granny flat. The granny flat in the house is going to be under one policy. I heard about free land in Jadaran in Queensland. Is it still available? Since I was checking on the internet, it seems could not find the offer. Really? Free land? Maybe you heard something slightly right, because nothing's ever free. So I doubt that that's true. You might have bought cheap land out there, but not free land, unless it was land, you know, I've seen it a couple of times where people offer their land for a dollar rent as long as you spend money on it. But, you know, I doubt that that's I think you may have misheard that. And I'm not sure how you heard that. How to get a valuation from the bank after we've finished renovating? Could we get the equity from the bank straight away? So, again, that's where you use investor loans. Make sure you've got good mortgage brokers. And what you do is you contact them. You tell them that the place is renovated. They'll usually send out an independent valuer that is on the bank that will be accepted by the bank. And hopefully you'll get the valuation up. Then they'll go through the process of revaluing if you've got serviceability so that you can then go and redraw the money up as high as you can and redraw that money to go on and do your next deal. All right, next one. My elderly mum is on a pension but owns her home outright, which is $1 million. I'd like to know if we set up a structure to use a collateral of her home to pay for a deal, then pay back the borrowed sum against the house, would it affect her pension, if at all? How would the structure differ? Well, it won't affect a pension. This is my opinion. Remember, your mother needs to get advice around this. So let's start from the top. Setting up a structure is not what you want to do because she probably owns it in her own name. Your mother probably can't get a loan against her property because they will want serviceability shown for that property. So I would doubt that your mother could get a loan on the pension for redrawing money out of that property. If you sold it, that's a different thing. Now, let's say that your mother did have good income and she could get a loan against the property. You would set up a structure if she was willing to lend it to your structure. So you'd set up a structure and the structure's buying the property. Remember, the structure owns the property. So when you set up that structure, what you'd do is you'd buy a property in it. The structure would then get a loan from a normal bank at, let's just say, 80% loan. And then your mother could lend 20% plus costs to the structure. The structure would have a first mortgage to the bank with the 80%. And then your mother could have a second mortgage, in which case she's protected to make sure she gets her money back. As I said, I doubt that she would be able to, on a pension, be able to revalue and take any money at all. The only loan that I think she could get is a reverse mortgage, which I am completely against because they rape and pillage when they do that. It's awful that what they do to the pensioners. I could only show her how to become an investor after I do it successfully first. Well, you're talking about using her money, so regardless, I think you're doing it first with her money. But I think that the only way that you could extract anything there would be to think about it without having to use a bank, and that's probably all I'll say. Let's see here. Hello, Dimpton. I've recently found this property. I've actually removed the address so no one could find it. and have looked at the figures and then don't know what to do next. Okay, so it's reduced to $129,000. It's four bedrooms, three moving, four bedroom or three bedroom with office rumpus, separate eating area, blah, 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 and rented for $230. So going back to the rule of two, Cameron, the rule of two says that the property price divided by 1,000 times two is the weekly rent you need to get to make it a positive cash flow property. So 129,000 divided by 1,000 is 129 times two, let's call it 130, times two is 260. So you'd have to buy that for 129,000 and you'd have to do a weekly rent of 260 to make it a positive cash flow property. Now remember, down here it said 230, right? So you're $30 a week under what it would be to be positive cash flow. Except that the rule of two works when interest rates are at 8%. And currently we're not at 8%, we're at 4%. So that means that it's the rule of about 1.5. So when you buy this property for 130, you then have to add 65. So $205 or $210 would be positive cash flow, but it's renting for 230. So that would be positive cash flow. Now the next thing is, okay, that's a property. It'd probably be positive cash flow when I buy it, but what can I do with it? What if I don't have enough cash that I can't get it back? So I put money in, I put my deposit in, I put paid for stamp duties, I do a little bit of a renovation, and at the end I can't redraw any money and I've got no more money to go and invest again. Well, it's the wrong deal for you, right? So here's another rule that I'm going to give you tonight. If I buy this property, at the end of the deal, can I buy another property? And if the answer is no, it's the wrong property for you because you've used up cash and you can't buy another property. Or when you go to revalue it, it hasn't revalued enough and you can't go and buy another property. If you're selling it, well, it's no big deal. But remember, you've got to sell at a profit. So, you can sit at home and go broke. There's no use to go out and spend money to go broke. So I think that sort of answers that question. And it goes back to that first question when I talked about, three properties, three strategies, three areas. Hi, Dipna. Looking forward to the webinar tonight. I heard from somewhere that there may be a move to make people with asbestos house remove the asbestos. Just wondering if you know anything about this. We were looking at buying an old fibro house with intention of redevelopment down the track, but don't want to find ourselves forced to do something before we are ready. We are in New South Wales. Look, there is talk about in the future that any home with asbestos will be treated, that it needs to be replaced at some time. And I would then say, okay, if that's the case, then how far off is that? Do I think it's in the next 5 years? I would doubt it. I would struggle to see that the Australian government would force anyone to pull asbestos out. Now, there's two types of asbestos. There's friable and non-friable. When it comes to friable, it's the stuff that will float around the air and do damage, usually used in insulation and all the rest of it. So I would say to you that if it's, if it's actually the fibro that's on the walls or on the roof, it's not so dangerous. It's only dangerous when you touch it, in which case I wouldn't be too fussed about it. Remembering also that when you do remove asbestos, it's a fully tax-deductible event in the year that you do it. So unlike other works on properties where, you could depreciate it over a number of times, or whether it's a repair or whatever it is, removing asbestos and changing it is actually 100% tax deductible. So know that. Now, I don't think it's going to be very soon. I don't think it's going to be in the next 5 to 10 years. That's my opinion again. I just don't think that they could force it on people. And again, asbestos is only dangerous when it starts to break and fall apart. And, as long as you don't do that, it's not a problem. So, that's the end of the questions here. All right. So now what I'm going to be doing is answering the questions that came in today. And so, Cameron, just again on the rule of two, if you're buying an investment property at $345,000, you need to get $690 rent. So if you're getting $600, that's on the rule of two. But remember that at it's the rule of 1.5. So 350 plus 170 is 450, 520. So if you were getting 600, it'd probably be positive cash flow. But just remember, if you buy this property and you go on to buy another one, can you buy another one? And if you're buying a house and land package, please remember that Dintner will hate you for it, right? So think about it long and hard before you buy a house and land package. Now, Mark has written me an essay. Now, I'm reading these questions. I'll copy it because, you know, Mark's that sort of guy. So let's see if I can get it in here. All right. Hi, and I have a small development project, 3x2-bed, 2-bath units in early stages, and the builder has recommended using styropanel for the construction on both lower and first floor. My research indicates this might be cheaper due to speed of construction and time to deliver the panels, but may be more expensive per square metres, which is less concerning for time savings offset. I'm interested if you have any experience with this type of construction and whether you have any concerns about durability, ease of maintenance, toxicity, and whether there is any potential impacts on either bank value or resale price in the future. How about I see if I can get Trev and Davina, if hopefully they've got their mic available. So Trev and Davina, Trev's a builder, and let's see, where are we? Let's see if I can get him on microphone. He might not be on microphone. Let me try. Trev, Davina, are you there?
Good evening.
Hi, how are you? So like I said, the knowledge bank of the ultimate students around the place. Now, Trev and Davina are actually platinum. Now, you build properties with styrofoam layers, is that correct?
It's actually a sit panel, which is colour bond on each side with styrofoam in the centre.
Right, and does it have fire rating?
I think it does, yes.
Yeah. So
So
what's your comment? So he's saying it could be more expensive per square metre, but goes up pretty quick. So give us an understanding of what it would be under a normal lightweight construction stick build versus using styrofoam panels.
Oh, it's the labour rate's insurmountable.
Right. So
You're saving on persons on the ground.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to have to mute you again because we're getting feedback from you.
Feedback.
All right. So thanks, Kev. Thanks, Davina. So, look, essentially, Mark, yeah, you're right. It does take a lot of time off, and I know I've seen them built. I'm a builder again, but I've never used them to build. I think for me, for valuation purposes, the end finish is exactly the same. It looks like lightweight construction, and I've got another builder here saying latest technique is to encapsulate it, put some sheets build the styro panel, use that as the actual wall, and then go and put gyproc over the top of it or plaster over the top of it, and then that way you've got a good outcome. Toxicity, not really concerned about it. You know, it's an encapsulated panel, so it's not that much of a deal. Obviously, when it burns, well, if it's burning, I don't want you in the house anyway, because otherwise you're going to get a decent tan. And I don't, like I said, I don't think it's going to affect bank valuation either. I think a nice looking building looks like a nice looking building. Ian, I have a long-standing subscription with Real Estate Investor and wondered if you could share some information on Price Finder as an alternative product. Well, Price Finder is different. So let me explain Investor. Investor is a research tool that lets you find properties with key parameters that you set for it. And it searches not just realestate.com, but all these websites all over the world. Built into Investor is an accounting software called Xero, which you can use for your property analysis. You can also have your property portfolio in there, looking after your property portfolio to check things are happening for it. And also there's something in Investor called APM, so Australian Property Monitors, I think it is. Now, APM is a tool that will help you find the previous sales in the area and all that sort of stuff. So when you're talking about Investor, it's a research tool to help you find something and assist you in your finding deals. When it comes to RP data and PriceFinder and APM, all of those are tools that you would use to research a particular property, not find the properties. So that's the difference between the two of them. Malcolm, if you enroll your kids in their schools, $1 equals house rent. Yeah, that's right. So for the country towns, going back to that one with free land, it's probably that they want kids in the schools, so you move to the town, and then that way they allow you to have the land for a dollar or rent for a dollar. Can you please explain serviceability? Serviceability is related to how much income you earn and how the bank will see you as a serviceable partner. So when you go out for a loan, the bank wants to check your serviceability. They want to check that you've got a job, that you can pay the bills, that you can pay the loan that you're asking for, and essentially say, well, okay, you can service the loan, you can pay the loan. The mother can go guarantor for the loan. There is some, going back to that question about the $1 million property, there is some banks that will allow the daughters or the kids to be the service partners and give up the property or equity in their parents' property. You could also, and Dipna will hate me for saying this, but the big white elephant in the room is, if the only way to buy a property is to cross-securitize and it means you can do the deal, then maybe that's the way to do it. So there's a number of different ways to do it. That's where Investor Loans Network guys and girls are there to help you out. That's why they're there, to give you your financial health check and give you some feedback on how you can move forward. Okay, let's see. This is a big, long question, and let me copy it and bring it up here for you. Banks take the tax and depreciation returns into account when looking at my serviceability again down the track. Yeah, and I don't like it. I don't like the fact that depreciation comes into it and negative gearing. You know, I had when in the last tour that I did, I spoke to a guy at Ballarat of Bendigo who didn't join, and he said to me, oh, I've got positive geared properties. And I said, okay, so are they positive? He goes, well, they're negative gearing, but after depreciation and after I get my tax back, they're positive. And I'm going, mate, they're negative, right? I don't care how you want to say or put it, it's negative. So quite simply, I'll say to you that if your property is negative, I don't even count depreciation, because when you go to sell that property and you've claimed depreciation, it has to be added onto the capital gain, onto the capital base, because you have to essentially pay it back. You can't double dip. So, you know, even if you don't claim it, the tax department will put it into consideration that you should have claimed it, so bad luck. So if at the end of the week you've got a property that's negative geared by $100 and you're pulling $100 out of your pocket, at the end of the financial year, you'll get possibly $37 back, right? So it still costs you $63 to keep that property. And I don't care how you look at it and what tax you get back and what depreciation you can claim, the bloody thing is negative. So it's either positive or it's negative. It's neither. So like Dimpner always says, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You're either negative or you're positive. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. That's one of the two. All right. So there's a bit of chilly for you. My situation may need to be taken into account. Just had a baby, or our borrowing capacity has decreased as only one in working, and would like to increase our equity either by chunk sale or hold and refinance. So can we pursue another deal straight after this one? I'm a Graham too. Well, that's looking back. So Sean, I presume that's this one, is it? I presume it's that place there. Well, the question is, can you do another deal after that one? So once you do this deal, once you do whatever you're going to do to it, whether it be a subdivision or you're going to sell it or whatever, and you refinance it, can you go off and buy another one? So you can answer that question with your strategist to help you out, the financial strategist to help you out. Joanne's saying that CBA will give loans to pensioners up to a certain value of the house, like a line of credit. My mum got one recently. My question is, with up to a certain amount, so does that mean that it's a reverse mortgage and she doesn't have to make any payments? And I don't want you to answer it, Joanne. This is where it comes into the investor loans guys coming in and giving you some feedback around what is possible when it gets to that. Can never get sound these past several weeks. Oh, look, I've changed no settings, Marion. Sorry. What makes a platinum member? Dimpner once a year, usually about August, October, September. She puts it out there. You might see an email. and you apply to become. It's an application process. If she doesn't want you, then she won't have you. She's looking for people that are particularly wanting to take action and make a step. So can I say that the first year I applied for platinum, she knocked me back. And like I always tell her, everyone makes mistakes. So yeah, she does that once a year towards the end of the year. Trevor Davina, going back to the insulation, is that, sorry, to the styrofoam panels, they have very good insulation, obviously, because you've got a cool room. And you can also do polystyrene ones where you concrete fill them, but that's not what he's talking about there. I'm a new member. I have two properties in Melbourne that has me negatively geared by 4.2K per year, which is not a lot, but I was wondering if I would be better looking for a cash cow to negate the current negative gearing or do a chunk deal and reinvest the profit back into the existing loans to make those cash flow positive now and give me a room of borrowing capacity. Well, Samantha, let me start with you're already thinking, so that's a good thing. It depends on your income. So look, if you're earning 150 grand, 100 grand, and $4,500 isn't a huge impost on you, although it'll depend on your situation. So if $4,500 is hurting you, well then, maybe you have to do something else. You're in Melbourne, so there's huge amount of strategies in there that you could get cash flow up really quickly. And so, you might, for 50% of the students that come in that already own property, that come into this program, they're already sitting on their first deal. They already own their first deal. They just don't know what they can do with it. So I would suggest that once you come to the boot camp and you see what strategies are available, in particular in Victoria, you might find that those two properties will go from 4,500 negative to possibly 10, 11, 12, 15,000 positive if you do the right thing, especially if they're in the right areas. If they're units, maybe you can't do a lot with them, and that's where you'll have to go in and you do what they call an opportunity cost analysis. So the opportunity cost analysis, there's a webinar on that, and you can go in and you have a look at that webinar, and then there's a spreadsheet that you can fill out, and you can honestly see what your real return on that is compared to putting your money in the bank. Put your money in the bank, you get a 3% return. What's that property actually really returning you for the cash that's in it? So again, and I don't mean to not answer these questions. What I am saying is that everyone's situation is different, and so I can't really answer your question. But I do like the fact that you're thinking about going out, doing a chunk deal, pay down my personal or pay down the debt on those properties, which turns it into a positive geared property, then redraw that money and go off and invest somewhere else. So you've got two things there. You can either do a chunk deal, pay down the debt, sell and pay down the debt, or do a cash cow and offset it so that you're neutral in property. I like the way you think. Vivian, for the investment property near Sydney CBD around the airport, if the cost of the apartment is 630, what is the rent that should be for passive income? 1260 on the rule of two. So I would doubt that you could buy a property around the airport for 630,000 and rent it for 1260, right? Now, in saying that though, interestingly enough, I bought it, and one of our properties we bought was in Mascot, and we paid 655 for it, and we took the rent from 430 to 1280 in the space of 3 months. Now, that's because I knew what I was doing. Well, not really. I thought I knew what I was doing, and it worked out. And I did three strategies on that property, and I'm doing the fourth and fifth strategy on that property in the next year or so. So, it is possible, but it won't be a direct deal. It'll be an indirect cash cow. Ralph says that Dimpna doesn't hate. That's correct. I didn't say that Dimpna hates people. I said she may hate the fact that you chose negative gearing. All right. from Richard. Hi Ian, I'm doing a due diligence for a potential subdivision deal in New South Wales at the moment. It's the first subdivision deal for me. I've talked to the council and town planner. It seems subdivision of the land is quite possible. However, I'm not sure how to estimate the final combined value of the two blocks of the subdivided land. Could you give me some tips around the budgeting costing? Okay. Well, budgeting and costing, what you're going to have to do is find other subdivisions in the area. The council websites, some of them have got tracking tools where you can see who the applicant was. Go to the applicant, find out who did the work, who was the builder, who was the guy that did the civil works, who did the sewer connections, and get a budget from them if you've never done it before. Ask some students if they've ever done one around, and work from that. So, you know, there's a couple of different ways you can work out the cost of the actual subdivision. Make sure you talk to a private town planner, not just to the council planners, because they'll only answer what questions you ask. So you need a private town planner to give you some feedback on that, that you can subdivide it. Don't buy just on the hope that you can subdivide. Make sure you get good qualified private town planner advice, not the planner from the council, private town planner who works independently, and some of them you might have to pay. As far as the end product and what they're worth, go into the sold section of realestate.com, just look for land that's sold and try and find comparable land that's sold in the area for that sort of price. If the price is not listed, ring the agent and ask them and tell them that you're looking at doing a similar thing and that you want them to sell your land when you've finally done it, and they should help you out. What is the investor software website? Look, better for you to go to the DVDs and watch the section in the DVDs, or wait for the boot camp to come up and then you can talk to the Investar guys directly. Hi Ian, we're living in Logan and I want to ask, are you allowed to build a granny flat in our front yard? Front yard, probably not. Now again, that's where you're going to have to talk to a private town planner. Logan does allow granny flats now. I think they allow 50 square meter granny flats. So I doubt it would be the front yard, but you're going to have to get some advice from even a private certifier, building certifier can help you out, but I would get some advice from a private town planner that would help you out with that and they would answer your question. So front yard would be an interesting one. You probably have to go to council to get approval rather than the certifier. Jamie, disc two of the three-day boot camp, Dipna says cross-securitizing can be the cost of business. Yeah, so she does say it. She does say that, you know, if you have to cross-securitize, then do it, but as soon as you can, make sure you unsecuritize it. Jared, serious question. Alrighty. We have 8.5 properties at the moment. Well, that's interesting. Did the other one just get caught on the in the cyclone? All bar two are positive. One is neutral and the last is negative, but only a little and is increasing value at a serious rate. So I'm happy to offset the growth. I agree with you. If it's growing really well, then sometimes you just bear it. This all adds up to about around 1.8 mil debt and all working out at the current top up of 1% higher rates, great. But it could go pear-shaped when the rates go higher, I agree. I'm in the middle of a split and build and paying down debt, but am I right to be deleveraging in the current rate environment and not just borrowing to the hilt? That's going to be dependent on you, Jared, and what you see happening in the future. So I'm not going to speculate on what I believe is going to happen to the economy, and so that's for you to do. Now, I've got my opinions on that, and I could give them to you, but I'm not going to. For me right now, Christine and I have got to the point where we've said enough debt's enough debt, and we are now paying down that debt. And so all our loans have been up to this point. Most of our loans have been up to this point interest only. We're now getting to the point where we're seriously concentrating on paying our debt off, so that at the point when we've got the current properties we own, when we've got no debt, we'll be far more positive cash flow because, you know, there's no debt on it and we're not paying interest. And if the interest rates ever go up, that's the wrong terminology. When the interest rates do go up, I don't care because I don't have any debt at all, in which case I'm happy to do that. Now, it's probably a better question of economists around the place, and always listen to a guy called Jason Anderson, who Dimpner always brings in and talks at a few of the events, the I Love Real Estate event. Generally, he comes in and speaks, and he would probably say to you, you know what? There's not really this is what's going to happen to interest rates, and he's been pretty good over the last few years. So the question there, Jared, is: are you willing to take the risk? You've got 1% buffer in there. You know, if you feel that there's going to be a move in interest rates as soon as it takes an upward direction, if you've got a 1% buffer, you might seriously think about selling down and paying off debt. Can you point out where I can find the checklist that guides me on managing my real estate agent? I heard Dipna mention in a recent one-day event. Apparently, she has a load of extras included in her agreement. All right, so it is on the website here, and I think it might be in the download section. So in the download section, let me see if I can find it, agent. Not found. Usually what you should do is either put a forum question up or email the coaches, Michael and Sarah, and they can help you out. unless someone else knows where it is. So, and it's probably in frequently asked questions, actually. Agent, command F, agent. Not found, really. Okay. So look, it's definitely on the website. I'm sorry, I don't know exactly where it is, but I do know that it is on here, and and I think it would be in the downloads. I don't know why I can't see it right now, but it's definitely there, and your coaches can help you out. And she's got extra stuff in there, yes. All right. You better stop with the questions now because I can't handle any more and I want to get off. My wife, isn't that nice? My wife, Narelle, and I are cashed up right now and want to buy PPR with various strategies available. Good. Renault subdivide build. Should we be looking at some structure for this? If so, what? All right. So Dimna says suggests that the only one that you should not buy in, you should consider not buying in structure is your own home. In saying that, though, there is ways of protecting your structure as far as putting it in a trust and giving yourself a year, 99-year lease. On the first day of the boot camp, she talks about that and how you can set that up and how you can set it up so that if you do have a 99-year lease, when you do sell that property, you can end up in a position where because you're breaking a lease, you'll break the lease for the cost of the profit, in which case there's nil profit and capital gains free. You have to get advice around that one. I would also say to you that if you are going to do a subdivision and a few other things, there could be a few things that you might want to think about. So living in the front house, you subdivide and then you build in the back, you move out of the front, you sell the front. There might be no GST implication or capital gain on the front. You've now moved into the back. It's still in your own name. But then again, if you're keeping properties in your own name, and your structure could be up for, your asset protection doesn't exist in your own name, the way it's set up, the way that Dibner suggests. I'm in Victoria. Why do you say there are lots of deals in Victoria? I don't say there's lots of deals in Victoria. There's lots of strategies that work in Victoria that are very good. And there's deals all over the country, not just in particular Victoria. What I'm saying is in Victoria, there's great strategies that you can use to get good cash flow. What is the strategy you use to boost the rental income and make the rule of two possible? Did you divide the apartment from two bed to three bed or something else? I did lots of different things, and no one property is the same. For me, to start with, it was under rented. Secondly, it needed to be renovated. Thirdly, I could create more units. There was a lot of different things that I could do to that property. Now I'm going through another application to do a few more things. If you're subdividing, is it worth having a chat to Telstra remaking the property NBN ready as well? Who cares? NBN really, regardless of you, there's so many people that have got, I don't think, but putting NBN onto a property, I don't think is going to sell you a property. I don't think someone's going to come into a property and go, wow, how beautiful this property is. I don't want to buy it because it hasn't got NBN. Great. If they've got NBN going past, great. If they don't, well, there's not much you're going to be able to do about it anyway. Am I automatically registered for the boot camps with a Quantum membership? No, you have to ring up and book in with Knowledge Source. So if you want to come to a boot camp, you've got to ring up Knowledge Source and book in so that they've got your details. Back to the styrofoam. I've been advised by two different builders that if the outside is to be rendered, the cost of rendering is very high, and the render will need to be re-skimmed after 5 years or so. That means the maintenance is bad for weather, as bad as weather for weatherboard. This is something I don't agree with that. I would say that your builders, if they're not experienced in the styrofoam, are just saying that because they've heard that down the grapevine. What LVR do I work with? Well, I'm currently at about just under 80%, and we're trying to pay down to 0%. So I won't comment that. Frequently asked question number 11. Where do I find the instructions to my property management document? There you go. Thank you very much, Desmond. Good job. It was right in front of us, and I didn't see it. Owner's instructions to rental managing. Yep, so we got that one. Can also protect a property by putting a caveat on it through a trust under a company. Yeah, Hugh, caveats don't necessarily mean anything, especially if they can prove that the caveat was put on there just for the protection. A decent lawyer will break that down pretty quickly. If it's a brand new apartment, so going back to that 630, if it's a brand new apartment and no need for renovation, what will you do to best boost the rental income? Could you please provide some details? Nothing, Vivian. You're buying an end-of-the-range product. You're buying a product that has no ability and no upside because you're attached to other units, and there's not much you can do. There is some strategies that there's one strategy you could do is rent by the room, but you need to know your legal obligations and it may not be legal to do it. Andrew's telling me that a builder is required to set up NBM entry point to a new construction. So when a new construction happens, the data cabling inside the building has to be NBM compliant anyway. So thank you for that, Andrew. There are buyers or tenants who prefer NBN over a property that don't. I'm one of them. Great. And that's fine. In the end, you've got to be NBN compliant anyway. And if it's running past the front door, then hook up to it. Great. And I agree that some people need NBN, but I'm saying that to go out of your way to ask Telstra whether there's NBN there and that's the place you're going to invest only because there's NBN, I think is a very minor detail when it comes to property investing. And the last one for the night, styrofoam rendered just needs to be repainted every 7-10 years. I agree with that. So like weatherboard, if you're painting it every when it's due for being painted, it should be ready to go and okay to not have to re-render or do anything in the near future anyway. So all right, guys, thank you for tonight. Thank you for listening. And any questions that you want to send in for the next webinar, in the second webinar of next month, send them to questions@realestatesuccess.com.au. That's questions@realestatesuccess.com.au. Thank you, everyone, for coming along. Looking forward to seeing everyone at the events coming up in March, April. Come and introduce yourself. Come and see me. Say hello. And like I said, get stuck into those bootcamp DVDs as soon as you can. The more you can get done before you get to the bootcamp, the better off you're going to be. Have a great night and see you later.